Upheaval. Breaking point. Chapter 3. Heaven, Moon, and Earth. The sight of the sun slowly rising above the horizon did little to lift Twilight's spirits as she trudged on across the rocky plain behind the other ponies. After the fight last night, they had returned to their camp and slept. At least, she tried to. She was exhausted when they came back, but try as she might, she just couldn't fall asleep. The smell of blood and burned flesh lingered around her nostrils. Not only that, she felt sweaty and covered in soot. The sight of Coldhoof stabbing himself while looking at her in contempt wouldn't go away. She ended up just laying on the ground for a few hours. And a few hours was indeed all she was given. The squad was up and walking before dawn. None of them had said a word since they started walking. Vanguard had ordered Scarlet Rabbit to fly ahead as a scout, removing the slightest chance of anyone trying to strike a conversation. Twilight also found herself placed in the uncomfortable position of being in between Pyre Valor, who walked behind Vanguard, and Blade Maid, who took up the rear. She didn't dare say anything. Pyre Valor still looked ready to pounce on anything she might say. Suddenly, she felt something nudge her rear.
"Move, Chosen," Blade Maid told her softly. "We should be at the fort by noon unless you delay us."
"I'm sorry," Twilight replied, "but we've been walking for some time now, and we didn't even have breakfast."
She felt her stomach rumble and looked away in embarrassment.
"What's the matter, Chosen?" Pyre Valor spoke up. "Are you scheduled for a cake sampling party by this hour? Do you miss the smell of milk tea in the morning?"
"I don't do those things," Twilight snapped. She was getting tired of the other unicorn's constant remarks.
"Pyre, take the lead,"
Vanguard said before Pyre Valor could reply. With one last backwards glance at Twilight, she switched places with Vanguard, who slowed his pace to walk next to Twilight. Despite being completely covered in barding, he didn't even seem to be exerting himself.
"Here,"
he said. He pulled out a small pouch attached to the harness where he strapped his enormous weapon and handed it to Twilight.
"What's this?"
Twilight asked. She opened the pouch to find a yellowish, grain-like substance inside.
"Concentrated feed,"
Vanguard replied.
"You get grouchy when you starve. Next thing I know, you and Pyre Valor will be throwing spells around. That should help."
Twilight poured a small amount into her mouth and started chewing. Almost immediately, she grimaced. The stuff was grainy and dry. It felt as if she was chewing a mouthful of sand.
"It tastes like cardboard," she said.
"The commissary must be improving then,"
Vanguard replied.
"It used to taste like burned cardboard."
Twilight forced herself to swallow without any more complaints. She just realized that this feed was probably Vanguard's only meal, and he had given it to her. Despite the amount that she'd taken, her belly stopped rumbling. Some of her discomfort also disappeared by having Vanguard nearby, instead of the combative Pyre Valor. She looked ahead and saw the fort they were talking about at a great distance. They were still far away from it, but the sight of a destination, indeed any landmark in this barren place, gave her some relief and let her focus on something besides the fact that she was lost in some strange land. The fort was huge, a walled, massive structure atop a steep hill. With some of her anxiety settling, she gathered enough confidence to talk to Vanguard.
"So, could you tell me about this Chosen thing?"
she asked Vanguard quietly, making sure that Pyre Valor didn't hear her. The white unicorn had walked far ahead, perhaps just to avoid her.
"Maybe I'd be less provoked if I knew why she hates me so much."
"Not you,"
Vanguard replied, matching her tone.
"And I really don't think it's hate, either. Pyre needs someone to blame. You're just a convenient target."
"But what do you mean by chosen?" Twilight insisted. "Chosen by who? And why?"
"We call ponies who live within the limits of Equestria proper chosen,"
Vanguard answered.
"Princess Celestia chose you, or, to be exact, she chose your ancestors. They were the pony inhabitants of her realm. That symbol on your flank marks you as a chosen."
"My cutie mark? That's not what it means. It's supposed to symbolize my special talent, the skill that makes me unique."
"Really? Then what is your special skill which makes you so unique, Twilight Sparkle?"
"Well, my special talent is magic," Twilight said proudly. She wanted to add that she was Princess Celestia's protege and that she also represented the element of magic among the elements of harmony, but she didn't want to annoy Vanguard with boasting. Besides, all those titles amounted to nothing out here.
"So among thousands of ponies and throughout all the generations for hundreds of years, you can honestly say that you are the only pony ever with a talent for magic?"
Well, Twilight was silent for a while. To say yes was simply too proud to be right.
"Your cutie mark is a symbol of your place,"
Vanguard continued.
It may symbolize where you specialize, but that's so you know where you stand in Princess Celestia's realm. I'm guessing that it makes for good bookkeeping on her part to have all you chosen ponies labeled.
You're wrong, and that doesn't explain why you hate us, Twilight retorted.
I don't, for one thing,
Vanguard answered.
Suffice it to say for now that you chosen are a privileged lot, and those privileges that you take for as normal do not apply to the ponies that must live out here.
Why won't you just give a straight answer? Twilight asked in frustration. Every time you explain something, you just throw in more questions.
It's not my place,
Vanguard replied.
Once you meet His Highness, you can throw all your questions at him.
He's not going to hate me too, is he? Twilight asked nervously.
Our prince has no time for sharing in the petty hatreds of his ponies,
Vanguard replied.
He'll do what needs to be done, and that's it.
The two of them fell silent for some time. The only sounds came from their hoofsteps, the bits of loose stones rolling beneath their hoofs, and the slight wind whistling through their ears. As they approached the fort, the landscape began to change a bit. The plain was a lot grassier now, with more trees dotting the vastness. Finally, after what seemed like hours, Vanguard spoke once again.
You fought well last night,
he said. No, I didn't, Twilight retorted. I heard Pyre Valor tell you last night. I was useless and a burden. I couldn't lift one of them without tiring myself out.
I didn't mean against the Wolven,
Vanguard said.
You stood up to four armed ponies. I can respect that.
You would have killed him anyway, Twilight said. I didn't do anything in the end.
I said I respected what you did. I didn't say I agreed with it,
Vanguard replied.
Don't put yourself down. Pyra said what she said because she expected you to fight as she did. She made an incorrect expectation, and naturally got disappointed.
I still don't understand why I got tired so quickly, Twilight said. The sight of Coldhoof dying still haunted her. She wanted to put it behind her as quickly as possible, and changing the subject would help. I can lift heavier things without that much effort. Vanguard fell into thinking for a while.
You're out of your element,
he said.
You're a chosen, and you've spent your entire life using your magic in Princess Celestia's realm. I'm guessing that outside her realm, your magic is weakened.
Before Twilight could reply, she saw Vanguard suddenly look skyward. She followed his gaze and then spotted a distant, flying figure closing in on them. A few seconds later, Scarlet Rabbit was already hovering in front of Vanguard.
All's clear up ahead, Captain, Scarlet Rabbit said.
You took your time, Scarlet,
Vanguard replied.
I flew into one of the aerial patrols and chatted them up. I just found out something interesting.
What is it?
The prince is already on his way to the fort. Every pony thinks it's a surprise inspection or something.
Well, isn't that an interesting coincidence?
Vanguard said.
We find something that needs his attention and he's already there.
Do you think he knows about me? Twilight asked.
Maybe,
Vanguard replied.
How important are you in Equestria proper? Are you the ruler of some province?
Well, Twilight stammered a little. I am Princess Celestia's protege. Scarlet Rabbit let out a whistle.
Wow! The princess's most trusted student has betrayed her. What a shocking turn of events.
I did no such thing, Twilight protested. I would never, ever betray Princess Celestia in any way. She looked at both Vanguard and Scarlet Rabbit defiantly.
Well, some betraying obviously happened, Scarlet Rabbit remarked with a shrug. I mean, you're standing here, right?
Regardless, that would explain how His Highness knows,
Vanguard interrupted.
I would guess that protege is important enough for the princess to search for you. She's probably already told her brother, and he's already tracked you down in his realm.
Twilight could not help but smile and breathe a sigh of relief. Princess Celestia was already looking for her. It would only be a matter of time before she could return to her home. Her friends must really be worried by now, especially Spike, who had seen her vanish into thin air. She couldn't wait to be back home with a cozy fire and a good book.
Whether he's found out about you or not, we'll see,
Vanguard said. Hours passed before Twilight was walking past the enormous gates of the fort. The structure was even bigger than she had imagined. Three-tiered layers of walls surrounded it in a circle. The first one was rising well over 30 feet. They were constructed with gray stone and looked as smooth as the surface of an egg. Heavily barded guards lined the gates of each wall. They reminded Twilight of Princess Celestia's own royal guards, but these ones had their faces completely covered in barding, save for slits for the eyes and nose. They were also noticeably bigger than the royal guards. They stood perfectly still, a sharp contrast to the bustle of activity all around them. Ponies were rushing about the place. Some of them drag carts behind them or were carrying a load on their backs.
Welcome to Fangbreaker Fortress,
Vanguard said. Why is everyone rushing about? Twilight asked. Is this normal?
Prince Tirado is arriving on short notice. That might mean a lot of things.
Like Fenrir showing up for an all-out wolven attack,
Scarlet Rabbit piped in.
Wouldn't that be exciting?
Fenrir? Twilight asked.
Vanguard looked sternly at Scarlet Rabbit before answering.
That's unlikely, he replied. This is either an inspection or about you.
Who's Fenrir? Twilight insisted.
The king of Wolvengard,
Vanguard relented.
One of Equestria's prime enemies.
Captain?
Pyre Valor suddenly approached them as they walked past the third gate. I'll take the plans and report our success, she offered. Vanguard nodded and Pyre Valor went on her way. Blademane wordlessly followed her.
I'm off to get a drink. See you at Stormbrews later, Captain?
Scarlet Rabbit asked.
Not today, Scarlet,
Vanguard replied.
I'm taking Twilight Sparkle to a guest room so she can rest until His Highness arrives. Then I'm off to my quarters.
When the Pegasus flew off, he turned his attention to Twilight.
Follow me,
he told her. The two of them walked through the halls of the fortress together. As Twilight looked around, she edged a little closer towards Vanguard. The fortress's interior felt oppressive. Decorations were scarce and limited to weapons hung on the walls or the flag of Equestria. The flag caught her attention for a while. She recognized the figures of Princess Celestia and Princess Luna, but rather than form the two halves of a circle, they formed only two-thirds. A third alicorn, a gray one, completed the pattern. Despite the high ceiling, she felt like she was inside a tomb. Everything was gray stone and wood. Even more disconcerting was how each pony who passed them would stop and stare at her flank. She was quick to note that none of the ponies she had encountered had any cutie marks, and some of them looked quite old indeed.
Captain Vanguard? She said, trying to catch his attention.
What is it?
He replied.
I want to thank you, Twilight said.
For what?
Vanguard asked.
For not agreeing to kill me, for starters, Twilight replied. For trying to be helpful and for trying to cheer me up this morning.
Vanguard suddenly stopped walking, to Twilight's surprise. He turned towards her. She couldn't quite see his eyes under the barding, but she could feel that he was staring at her with more intensity than usual. Distracted, she nearly stumbled into him.
Do you mean that?
He asked.
Why, yes, I do, Twilight answered after she had recovered.
She steeled herself up, matching his gaze with her own.
I mean every word.
In response, Vanguard fiddled a bit with his harness and pulled something out. He handed the object to Twilight, who looked at it curiously.
If you're truly grateful, then take this, he said.
Twilight inspected the object carefully. It was a coin made of silver. On its face was the picture of a hoof descending from a cloud. What appeared to be a wolf, a bear, and a snake were underneath the hoof. The snake and the wolf had managed to turn around and bite the fetlock of what was surely a giant pony. The bear had taken a swipe at the hoof and succeeded in cracking it. On the other side of the coin were the words, "No one else needs to suffer," written in simple engraving.
It's beautiful, if a little morbid, Twilight said. What's it for?
It doesn't matter, Vanguard said. Keep it. Don't show or mention it to anyone.
He looked so serious that Twilight simply nodded in agreement. She took the coin and placed it in her bag, between the pages of the book she had brought along.
Thank you,
Vanguard said softly. With that, he led her to one of the doors in the hall and opened it. Inside was a small room, bare of anything save for a single bed, a dresser, a chair, and a desk.
You can stay here and rest up. His Highness will summon you once he's ready.
A little confused at his reactions, Twilight nodded and entered the room. She immediately collapsed on the bed. She had been walking for hours and was glad for a chance to rest. She would have appreciated a bath, too. She was still sweaty and grimy, and she was going to meet a prince. But when she turned around, however, Vanguard had already closed the door and left. An hour passed before Twilight heard someone knock on the door. She opened it, expecting Vanguard, and was mildly disappointed as well as intimidated when she found a pair of guards instead. Their full barding made it look like a pair of pony-shaped statues had come to fetch her.
Miss Twilight Sparkle, His Highness Prince Tirado of Equestria has asked to see you,
one of the guards said. His voice was muffled and metallic when he spoke. She nodded and followed them. They walked silently, just ahead of her, one at each side. A few minutes later and Twilight was looking up at a pair of enormous double doors, each one more than five times her height. They opened into a massive chamber before her. The chamber looked similar to Princess Celestia's throne room, only lacking in any decoration.
Guards lined the sides of the room, and a carpet extended from the throne all the way down to the doors. Twilight's gaze followed the carpet as she went in. She was halfway into the room when she saw the pony who sat at the end of the stairs. Atop the stairs was a gray alicorn. He was much bigger than Princess Celestia herself. It wasn't just height, either. He was heavily muscled, with powerful wings and a strong neck. His mane was a stream of deep red fire that blazed across the back of his neck, as well as his tail. Unlike Princess Celestia or Princess Luna, who wore bejeweled brooches around their necks, this one wore a thick chest plate of unadorned dark gray metal. His neck and legs were similarly covered, although he wore no facial covering or any sort of crown. Immediately, Twilight felt her knees grow weak. She knelt on instinct, her face averted. If there was any doubt in her mind before as to whether this Prince Tirado was actually related to Princess Celestia, it was banished.
"I am Tirado, the ruler of this realm you're in, Chosen,"
Tirado said. He looked at her with eyes of a darker, almost black shade of gray, and he spoke with a deep and powerful voice that resounded across the chambers like a distant earthquake.
"Tell me your name."
"Twilight Sparkle, Your Highness," Twilight replied.
"Something interesting happened to me this morning, Twilight Sparkle. Would you care to hear about it?"
"As you wish, Your Highness."
Twilight looked up to find that Prince Tirado was descending the stairs. At a closer view, she saw that his horn did not taper into a fine point, but rather into a blunt edge, as if the tip had broken off. When he stretched his wings, she noticed that his left wing was also about a couple of inches shorter than his right. The tip of the wing appeared to end in a rough edge.
"This morning, my eldest and dearest sister, Celestia, decided to contact me,"
Tirado began.
"A noteworthy event indeed. She's hardly ever contacted me for so many centuries. Why, for all her avoidance, I'd say that it's almost as if she doesn't give a crap about this place."
One of the nearby guards stifled a snort, as if he was about to laugh. Twilight swallowed a protest, but kept on her knees as Tirado continued. Despite his words, he didn't sound angry. Indeed, he sounded amused.
"A hysterical little dragon had come to her screaming about how someone called Twilight Sparkle had disappeared in a flash of magic. Coincidentally, she felt that someone had just broken through her barrier. A bit of logic later, she decided to task me with finding her missing protege, who had accidentally teleported herself a few thousand miles off target and ended up in my realm."
Tirado stopped directly in front of Twilight and gestured for her to rise.
"You're fortunate that you happen to be particularly important to Celestia. Otherwise, I'm obligated to execute you, or keep you here forever. Since she insisted, I'm going to send you home."
"Thank you very much, Your Highness," Twilight replied in a subdued tone. "Kill her? For just stumbling into this place?"
All the questions she had been asking silently since she came to this place started coming back.
"You look like you have a bunch of questions to ask, Twilight Sparkle,"
Tirado remarked.
"Or is that constipation? I haven't interacted with you Chosen ponies for a long time. If it's questions, go ahead and ask. Otherwise, the fort's medics might have something for you."
"Your Highness, I would like to know why you must keep this place a secret. Why are there Chosen ponies who must not know anything about you or what you do?"
"That's quite a thirst for knowledge you've got,"
Tirado said with a chuckle.
"No wonder you take to Celestia's teaching with ease."
He was silent for a moment. When he spoke, his amused tone was gone.
"To explain, I'll have to start at the beginning. Celestia, Luna, and I founded Equestria in hopes of creating an ideal kingdom of peace and harmony for all ponies. Even at the very start, however, the three of us soon came to realize that such an ideal would remain just that. Equestria was surrounded by other realms. Fenrir's Wolvengard to the north, Aragex's Ursinium to the west, and Sethys Ophidus to the south. Each of them wanted a piece of our realm, and was more than happy to send armies to invade."
Tirado's voice darkened as he continued.
"Equestria became an embattled realm. While Celestia and Luna governed, I led the ponies who rose to defend their homes against these invaders. We succeeded in protecting Equestria thanks to every pony's courage. That, and our neighbors were just as happy to attack each other. Time and again, we repulsed waves of invaders. Celestia, however, wasn't happy with mere victory in battle. The presence of war ruined Equestria for her. Fear and hatred of our enemies was understandably commonplace, as was the desire to learn more about fighting and killing. This was not the Equestria she had hoped to rule. She brought this up with me and Luna, and we agreed on her plan."
Tirado paced the hall as he talked. Twilight couldn't tell if the memory of his past angered or saddened him, but he looked quite grim as he spoke.
Celestia took the ponies who were least influenced by war and gathered them at the center of Equestria. There she raised a barrier, separating them from the rest of the world. The vast place enclosed by the barrier became known as Equestria proper, or Heartland. While Luna ruled by her side, she entrusted me with the task of defending the surrounding lands with the ponies who were not chosen, and keep Wolvengard, Ursinium, and Ophidus from breaking through. It was a task I willingly accepted. Here I am now, centuries later, and my duty continues. Do you understand now, Twilight Sparkle?
Twilight's eyebrows furrowed in deep thought. She did understand, but the implications were horrible. Princess Celestia kept this all a secret to keep the influence of war away from the realm she wanted to rule, she said in shock. I can't believe this. All this time we've been living happy and peaceful lives while others did the fighting? And they do so without being recognized?
That's the gist of it, Tirado said with a smile.
This is wrong. This can't continue.
Well, that's a reaction I didn't expect. Regardless, I have a question too. How did you get here?
Twilight told the prince her story. At the mention of the skeleton and the gem she found, his eyes narrowed in recognition.
Do you still have that gem?
Tirado asked. Yes, your highness, Twilight answered. She reached into her bag and pulled out the stone. To her surprise, the sphere was now dull gray and cold.
Looks like a mana battery, Tirado said. A big one, too. No wonder you botched your teleportation. A unicorn could use something that big to blow up a quarter of this fortress.
I've never heard or read of such a thing before, Twilight said.
It's a tool for war, Prince Tirado explained. Much too dangerous for everyday use. You could have blown yourself up if it wasn't for your high level of magic. I'm gonna have to talk to Celestia about this. As for you, it's time to go home.
Your Highness, Twilight spoke up. Is it all right for you to share all that information with me?
Well, you don't look like a blabbermouth, Tirado said. But that's not important. It's all right for me to tell you everything, since you're going to subject yourself to a memory lock spell. You won't remember a thing by the time you get back to Equestria proper.
But what was the point of telling me if I'm just going to forget?
It felt good to tell a chosen pony my story. Therapeutic, you might say. However, it's either that or I kill you, or you stay here forever. Celestia will not allow any information about the barrier lands to leak into her realm. It's only because you're her precious protege that she's risking this spell.
Twilight considered refusing, but she remembered everyone back home. They would miss her, and she would miss them. It was a hard choice. Then she remembered the contents of her bag. Perhaps... Very well, Your Highness, Twilight replied. Smiling, Prince Tirado lowered his head and touched the pony before him with his horn. A flash of light emanated from him, searing away Twilight's vision. When she could finally see again, Twilight found herself sitting in the middle of her living room. All around her, there were scattered books and papers.
Twilight?
Someone from a corner asked. Twilight looked about to find Spike huddled by the corner of the room.
Twilight, it's really you!
The baby dragon rushed forward, tackling Twilight with a fierce hug. Tears trickled down his cheeks as he sobbed out his words.
I was so worried. I thought you were gone for good. It's so great to have you back. What happened? Where did you go?
Twilight hugged Spike in return.
I don't remember, she answered.
She cast about her mind, trying to recall what had just happened. She remembered casting a spell by a cave and nothing.
How long was I gone, Spike? You were gone since yesterday noon, and it's evening now,
Spike answered. He wiped away his tears and looked at Twilight in concern.
Are you all right? Are you hurt? What happened to your eye?
No, Twilight answered. Her eye felt swollen and painful, but she was otherwise fine. That wasn't what she was concerned about, however. She was gone for a day she had no memory of. She took the bag she had on and shook out its contents to see if she could find a clue in them. A few books tumbled out, but what caught her attention was a metallic ping of something striking the floor. She picked the object up and inspected it. It was a small silver coin.